Let's go from there. This is your host, Trevante Jaramillo, and it's prime time, late night. And the guest is model, performer, singer, front woman of Sorrow Seed, Lilith Astaroth. See, I had to really stop myself right there because I've been trying to tell people that you were going to be on all day, and I can't say Lilith quickly. See? Lilith quickly. I can't do it.
Sorry, it's kind of a tongue twister. I know some people can't say it in school.
I've been trying, and I really appreciate you coming to do this. I have lots of different questions. Let me throw a couple of plugs out to start the thing. Obviously, gofromthere.podbean.com. That's the home site. Go check out all the podcasts. And man, there's a lot. Jesus, I've really been working hard at this thing. And I'm not really sure for what, but hopefully so many people enjoy it. And hopefully I can make this hour, you know, 15 minutes, depending on how awful I am. Very interesting for you guys and fans of Lilith. I want to plug my Twitter, which is at GFTpod on Twitter. And the reason being, I've been kind of against Twitter for a long time. Like, what do you feel about Twitter? How long have you been on it?
Let's start there. I've been on Twitter pretty much since it's been around, and I have mixed feelings about it. I have it as a promotional sort of tool, and I think it's kind of dumb for the most part. Like, I really hate being limited to such a small amount of, you know, of a sentence. I think that they should make the character allowance like 160 or something a little bit higher, because if you want to say anything detailed, you can't really, you know, especially if you want to post a picture or a link or something. It's right. Kind of like, well, you can split it up into two posts, but that just looks dumb. So, I mean, I have met a few cool people on there, though. I have been able to converse with a few people that I might not have normally, and I think
right. You're
probably included in that.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at with it, because, like, I had Twitter, like, I don't know, a couple years ago, and, like, just for no reason. Like, just me and my friends would, like, talk shit to each other. Nothing really was going on. But I realized that, like, when you're trying to, like, push a brand or a product or whatever, you can't really leave anything on the table, you know? So I was like, All right, we'll do Twitter again. But this is how I feel about it. I feel like it's like Facebook is just whatever, you know, your friends and, you know, whatever, which I'm kind of new to Facebook too. You didn't know that, but the listeners know that. But Facebook's whatever, but Twitter's like, I've always thought Twitter was just like being at like a giant club and you're just like screaming look at me to everybody that's in this giant club, right? But what I realized recently, like, you know, for people like you and for people like Kat from MMAfreak.com, like, I've actually gotten some guests from Twitter. And what I realized is, like, if you're screaming something in a bar and somebody comes up and they're like, dude, I totally understand what you're saying. Like, you kind of connect, like, a little deeper than on Facebook even, you know? Because, like you were saying, the ones that you find that really connect, like, they kind of hang around and they're into your shit.
Yeah, it's getting harder for things to stand out on Facebook, too. Facebook is so full of noise, and lately, the way they've been doing it, they've been forcing ads and stuff into your news feed as well, and that just further drowns out the people that you actually want to hear from. You have to go into your settings and change everything and say, like, yes, I do want to receive updates from this person that I know in real life. You know, it's just, I'm starting to get away from Facebook because I find that it's too much of a time sink. I go on there to check my mail, and before I know it, it's been 2 hours, and, you know, it's fun socializing and stuff.
Well, conceited.
With people.
Famous? Jesus.
Yeah, like, my Facebook inbox is this never-ending pile of stuff, and it takes a lot of, like, mental fortitude for me to even face dealing with it on a regular basis. Sometimes I can't deal with it. I honestly cannot deal with it, and anybody who's listening right now and doesn't get a response from me a lot, like, I just want to apologize. I'm not doing it on purpose. I cannot keep up with everything that happens there.
Well, it's
a nightmare.
Let's start there. Hang on. Let's rewind a little bit. Like, the reason that it's probably a freaking nightmare for you is because you're a good-looking woman that's involved in a lot of different shit. So, like, kind of list off some of the stuff that you're really involved in, and that's why you have, like, these hordes of people that are your fans. Like, obviously, you have Sorrow Seed. That's the band, right?
Right.
What else is going on? Hello. Oh, no. Did I lose you? Oh. What happened?
Hello?
Oh, there. I got you now. What, did you walk off into the fucking woods? Hello? Call me back, sir. Jesus. Fuck you, Sprint. Hello.
Hello.
Sorry, did you hear me that whole time?
Verizon. Yeah.
My bad.
It's cool. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but anyway.
I'm going to leave that entire... I've been recording the entire time, so I'm going to leave that all just to drive people nuts. All right. Care.
Do you want to just like pick up where we left off?
Yeah, we're still going, so...
Okay, cool.
Okay, so you got the band, you got modeling, you got... Like, what else you got?
Yeah. To answer your question, a big part of the reason I continue to have a Facebook account is because I have to have it for business purposes. I do have my contact info out there on the internet, you know, just through my website, lilithastaroth.com, and I encourage people to actually email me for gigs and such, but unfortunately, a lot of people have taken to using Facebook to contact me for professional gigs, which I think is very unprofessional, but I have certainly missed out on a few things from ignoring my Facebook inbox for too long. So unfortunately for me, it's a necessary evil. I use it for a lot of different things. I'm involved in several different aspects of the entertainment industry, being performing, singing, modeling, go-go dancing, hosting. You know, I do all sorts of different things. And so it's a part of my life that I wish I did not need. And I really could use a secretary. That would be wonderful.
No, believe me, I'm with you on that, because I've told this story already. I'll just give you the quick version. Like, I didn't have Facebook for a long time when I started my show. I kind of just, like, texted people, emailed people, and I was like, I don't want to do Facebook for it. I got one link on Facebook by a friend of mine that liked the show, and I got, like, a third of the entire amount of hits in one day. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what I got to do now. So I understand. And, yeah, anybody out there that wants to produce my show, just kidding, I can't give you anything, so... right now it's just me, but yeah, it's a lot of work, and like, but I'm only involved, like, I have a day job and I do this, and
yeah,
it's a lot of work, but you're involved in all kinds of stuff. Like, okay, let me reset my questioning a little bit. I apparently am a child, a Puritan little Nino that doesn't know anything about anything. Okay. I am a, you know, original Nintendo dude, you know, some PlayStation games and all that kind of, yeah, I saw your bikini, all right? Anyway.
Fuck yeah, man. NES. That's classic NES represent.
That's amazing. But like a lot
I wore
stuff,
that yesterday when I was at PAX East.
Hey, good for you. Yeah, I saw the video on your how old is that video that's on your page right now?
That was from last month. That was from KatsuCon. Oh. I did an interview with Cosplayer Nation. You can find it on YouTube. Just look for Lilith Astaroth, Cosplayer Nation, and you can pull up the interview that I did with them about kind of the background of the costume, why I did the costume, why I love Nintendo, and why the security department didn't like the outfit too much. I guess it was a little too hot for the con.
It was a little revealing, I'll say. Illicit.
I mean, it was not really revealing to me, you know. I've seen people wearing much less at these conventions, so
no, but, like,
I don't know,
okay,
what their problem is. But
like, you don't know this, but like when I have somebody on, like, okay, I've made half a habit of having like pinup girls on my show. And it's not really even so much like I do dig the pictures and all that kind of stuff, but it's not really like a thing of mine. It's just like, it's like a world that I don't understand. I've never been to a con. I've never been to like a cosplay thing.
Uh-huh.
It's just something that I'm like, can you just like I just want to know like how that whole thing works. Like, is it like, I know you go there and like, it's fun and you like, you dress a certain way on purpose. We get all that stuff. But like, is it ever like creepy? Mm-hmm. Like, is it ever weird? Like, you ever get followed like to your car? Mean, you know?
Yeah, there's definitely creepy people there. I mean, these things are just giant nerd fest, basically. And as such, they're going to attract a lot of fucking weird, socially inept people. But, I mean, it just, everybody's going to try to have a good time. Sometimes you get a deal, well, when you're female and you're wearing a costume, you know, you have to deal with the creepy guys that are either trying to hit on you or they've got a camera and they're trying to proclaim themselves a photographer just because they have a camera, but they're going to end up following, you know, I've had guys kind of following me around and stuff like that, and I'm just like, yeah. But, you know, that's one of the things that you kind of have to deal with when you're, you know, prancing around a convention, like, looking like a supermodel and stuff. It's just going to happen, but that's just a small part of the con.
Looking like a supermodel? Damn.
Yeah, whoa. I mean, there's a lot of really attractive women at these things.
Oh, you weren't talking about you. You meant everybody else.
Okay. No, I wasn't referring to me specifically. I mean, there's a lot of attractive girls, and I'm not, you know, I'm sure people who are attending them are not just going for the nerdery. Like, some of them are going to see the hot girls in skimpy outfits. I mean, that's just part of what you can expect when you go to these things.
Now, okay, this is something that I've been trying to figure out a way to, like, word this question to, you know, somebody like you, or like, you know, I don't think I said it right to some of the other girls that I've talked to about this. And like, the reason I want to word it right is because I don't want you to like answer in a way that would like, put your fans in a bad light. 'Cause that's not what I'm trying to do, but I'm just like, how do you like, see, I've been trying all day and I still haven't figured it out. There is like that kind of creep element and stuff like that, but like, how do you separate like the actual people that really dig your stuff from the creeps?
Well, it's, you kind of get a vibe off people.
I know, you know, sorry, just, I know, get, I know it's a weird question, but like, I mean, okay, again, let me reset.
There's people like, are plenty of people who are into the stuff who are can be respectful and saying like, wow, you know, I really appreciate your work, or I appreciate the work that you put into this costume. It looks great on you, stuff like that. I think it's more just coming down to being respectful or not, because some guys are just, you know, they're just like, oh, you're hot. Oh my God. Like, would you ever date a guy like me? I'm just like, oh, please, dude, come on.
Well, is it easier to like differentiate people like through your music? 'Cause it's not like visually based.
A little more so, yeah. Usually the fans that are coming for the music and coming in through that avenue, they're focused on the music. But I do get a decent amount of guys that will see a show not expecting there to be a female, and then they just kind of hang around afterwards because they want to be like little groupies and they're only interested in the band because I'm female. So there is a certain amount of that stuff there, too.
How does that sit with the rest of your guys?
How so?
Well, like with the rest of the band, like how do they handle that? Are they like, what, you know, do they get pissed off, or they don't care? Like they realize?
Oh no, like they don't give a shit. I mean, we're all just there to play music. Obviously, there's going to be some people that only care that, you know, there's tits in the band. I mean, whatever. It doesn't bother any of us. Sometimes we use it to our advantage. You know, the whole female fronted scene is kind of a niche thing. And in fact, the tour that we're on right now is all female fronted bands called the Damsels of Darkness, and we've been having a great time on that tour. But I mean, let's face it, if the band didn't have a female front person, we wouldn't be on the tour right now.
Well, you've done other tours, right? Like this one is kind of based on that.
We did one last year.
Okay.
The one we did last year, we put together ourselves. It was the Unhallowed Reaping Tour. It was for Halloween, basically. We got a couple shows around Halloween, and we were like, let's make a fucking tour out of this. So we did that. It was fun. You know, it was entirely funded by us and put together by us. So it was very, very difficult. I mean, it wasn't easy. We spent a lot of money, and we ran into some problems. We ran into some bands dropping last minute or sometimes same day. we had fucking Hurricane Sandy to deal with. We had to cancel our Philly show thanks to Hurricane Sandy.
Right.
So that was kind of annoying. I mean, we made the best out of it. We stayed in our hotel. We hung out in the jacuzzi and, you know, drank wine and stuff. So we had a good night, but we were really disappointed that, you know, that happened. But it seems like any time that we get together and make major plans, some kind of force of nature tries to fuck with us. It's just, it's like a blizzard or freaking hurricane or something.
It's because you're a metal band.
And we do have sort of like a nature-based storyline, so it's really appropriate for us. I mean,
we're used
to these kinds of catastrophes happening. But the good news is we will be returning to Philly on 420, thanks to this tour that we're on right now.
Yeah, 420.
So, fuck yeah. Not only are we going to end up in Philly, you know, so soon after we were supposed to be there, but it's going to be a 420 fest, which is really, really awesome. I'm really excited. I know a couple of people down there that are involved in the normal scene, and for those of you who don't know, I'm also a marijuana activist and
I'm rolling up this blunt for you. I'm rolling up this blunt for you. I'm trying to tell you. Well, no, nice. Okay. We just opened up some more questions because okay. Let me swing back around to the marijuana thing, but real quick, like this is something that I've asked I've had a couple, you know, bands and some other, you know, DJs and stuff on here. Like, what do you want out of your music? Like, are you cool with the fact that, like, you know, if you put a little tour together and it goes down the toilet, like, are you cool with that? Like, just as long as you get to do it and have fun? Like, no, because, I mean, the industry's dead, right? Especially for metal.
It's tough now, yeah. It's a lot harder than it used to be. The scene is really not united anymore. It's a lot more difficult.
Man for themselves, man.
Yeah, it's very much so. There's not a lot of, like, camaraderie there. And it's really difficult.
Now let me ask you this: is it catty among the female fronted bands?
Not that I've experienced. I mean, I haven't really spoken with them much except like online a little bit. They seem nice to me.
Well, I don't really talk to them, so I don't know if it's fucking catty. But you know,
well, they're different. They're different bands, you know. So far, people have been nice. I haven't had to deal with any cattiness yet. So, but I have had to deal with cattiness within bands, you know, with another female member before. And it's just, girls are very territorial, and you know, if I'm, you know, people just get like jealous, I guess, or whatever. If you know, I'm the singer. I'm supposed to be in the spotlight, you know, most of the time, unless there's some crazy leads going on or something, you know what I mean? But sometimes I was in a band with a female who was like a bass player, and there was this kind of like weird constant like power struggle that she wanted more attention. I'm just like, you know what, this is not working out, and I'm not going to be in any more bands with females.
let me explain to my people. Like, I mean, I've been teasing your appearance on the show for a week or so. But to anybody that hasn't seen the Facebook post and all that kind of stuff, you cannot take the spotlight off of this person. She has no hair, okay? Shaved head, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your nationality?
I'm Italian and Irish.
Oh, shit. Okay. So imagine like an Italian girl with some like real Long Island, like, you know, Egyptian eye makeup, okay? And then some like Till Lindemann, Rammstein, you know, steampunk fucking corset stuff, and then Gene Simmons boots. Like, you cannot take the spotlight off of this person. Like, what?
that's what I'm trying to...
This is me. Like, the band exists because I'm here. And you're also actually really...
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that at all.
I said that. You're right. My bad. But you are a very talented singer. I mean, like, who, like, you're an amazing singer. I've only listened to, like, maybe four of your songs, but, like, who, how did you, okay, this is a hack question, but, like, who are your influences, and, like, what was the first time you knew that you could actually do that? Because there is, like, a moment with every metal singer that they're like, oh, shit, my voice does that, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I ever had an oh shit moment like that, because I was always a very loud, rambunctious kid. I was always running around screaming, making weird noises. My parents thought I had Tourette syndrome. And, like, to this day, like, I'm not sure if I don't. Like, I might have a mild case of Tourette syndrome because, you know, for anybody who knows me and has spent a good deal of time with me personally, I mean, I just make fucking weird noises all the time. And it's like,
well, no, and anybody,
like, you know,
anybody that's hearing this podcast, I went through and carefully combed out all the cunts and fucks.
So, it's just part of my personality. And then when I decided I wanted to be in a band, I was like 14. I had always been into music. I played piano from ages like 5 to 12. I had lessons and, you know, I really enjoyed that. And then when I got a little bit older, I discovered the band Nirvana, and they inspired me to, like, pick up a guitar and try fronting a band. And so that's what I did. And my role models at the time were all bands like Pantera, Slayer, you know. And so that was how they sang. And when I decided I wanted to do this, I just wanted to imitate my influences. So this was the kind of, this was, you know, their style of vocals. So that's what I did. You know, it just never occurred to me to do it any other way.
Right.
So, you know, and then it wasn't until years, I mean, like a decade later, when I decided, oh, hey, like, I've been doing this screaming thing for forever. Like, you know, maybe I should try actually singing too. And then I ended up getting a lot of good feedback from fans about it. So I've gotten some encouragement to continue doing it. So now I've been studying operatic voice for the last 2 years.
Oh, shit. Next level. Yeah,
I mean, that next level is going to take a lot of work, though. I mean, it's extremely challenging. No, but, so I'm nowhere near where I want to be yet.
I don't know the name of the girl that sings for I Wrestled a Bear Once, but... Oh, God,
I fucking hate that band. Ugh.
Oh, why?
It's just, I don't know, I never understood the appeal. It's just noise to me. It's garbage. I fucking hate that band.
Maybe I can feel you on that, but, like, what do you think about the girl that sings?
I don't think anything of her. I don't think she's particularly talented. I don't see what the big deal about the band is. I'm not a fan.
No, fuck my next line of questioning. Let's go on to the next thing. I'm a big fan of somebody that does the well, I don't care if it's like a certain like operatic or whatever. I like somebody that can go, you know, super dirty and then super clean. And probably the only other person I can really think of right this second would be Burton from Fear Factory, just cuz I love Fear Factory.
Yeah, I like them. Yeah.
I can't really think of anybody else. So, yeah, fuck my line of questioning. Forget that.
I mean, the band Opeth is a good example of that, because their lead singer has a beautiful voice, but he does very beastly screaming, too.
You're an Opeth fan?
What's that?
You're an Opeth fan?
Yeah, hell yeah. And actually, they were a big influence on Sorrow Seed's first album.
My second man, Rob O'Leary, who is Roberto Inferno of Ancient Wind, will be very happy to hear you say that, because I think Michael Ackerfeld is one of his biggest influences as far as his whole music goes.
Awesome.
I might have to call you again with him, and then you guys can just, like, you know, yell at each other about who's had, you know, better CDs in their lifetime. Let's swing back around. Like, I know I'm kind of jumping all over the place, but you're actually way more interesting than most people are, so you're giving me a lot of different inroads here. So let's go back to the pot thing. We're in Colorado here. The show's in Colorado.
Oh, you are! Yeah, oh, you lucky bastards.
Yeah. Now, okay, I'll say this. I'm not a pot guy. I tried. It's not my thing.
Yeah.
What makes you an activist? Like, why do you give a shit about it?
Well, I mean, there's a few reasons. I actually don't smoke a ton of weed anymore. I did when I was younger, but now it just sort of dulled my brain a little bit, so I don't really actually smoke a lot anymore. I use it, though, when I have...
What happened?
I think I've just been smoking for so many years. It's kind of, I mean, I do think that it does sort of affect your brain after a while. You know, like anyone who argues differently is wrong. Like, you know, it's there are some negative effects to it. I'm not going to sugarcoat that.
That's not really towing the line of the activist. Like, yeah, your brain is a... No, you can't say that. If you're going to be an activist, you got to mix that.
You didn't let me finish, dude. You're going to stop interrupting me. Maybe I can get to the point.
Well, no, go ahead and finish. I didn't mean to interrupt.
The point is, I don't personally smoke a lot of weed anymore, but I do highly believe in legalization, re-legalization, I should say, because it used to be legal. And the reason for such is that it's extremely valuable as a medical tool. As medicine, it is like one of the only things that some people have. Cancer patients, you know, like, it's very important. It can keep you alive. You know, it's incredible for pain management. And some people have crazy anxiety. There's a whole list of medical reasons that cannabis can be used to help, and I think that's just one of the reasons. You know, there's also, when you look at hemp is such a valuable resource, and it should be more widely available. You know, it's stronger than cotton, it's more, hemp seeds are really healthy for you. I eat hemp seeds, like, as part of my diet, and cannabis oil is very healthy for you. It's a plant. It is a plant that grows in the ground. It is not a man-made chemical. So even regardless if I am not smoking weed anymore, I fully believe that it should be accessible for people who need it. And I think that this country's economy could really be turned around if we taxed and regulated marijuana like alcohol. It could really, really dig us out of this hole we're in. But, you know, it's every state is different. Some people are really for it and some are extremely against it. For example, New Hampshire, you know, right above us in Massachusetts, whose motto is live free or die. Like, they are extremely against decriminalization of marijuana. I can't understand why. You know, they're supposed to be like a liberal state, and it's just so funny, like, how different the views are when you look state by state.
Right. Is there like a personal, touch for you on this? Like, was there like family that could have used it, or... Like, you know what I mean? Like,
what
brought you from, like, you know, smoking pot and being like, that's whatever, to, you know, this is helpful. And, you know, I mean, the economy stuff is a no brainer. The medicine stuff is like, I mean, some people are still kind of on the fence about it, but like, how did you get past like just the getting high to this thing?
Well, there's a yearly festival, an annual festival in Boston that's been going on for over 20 years now. It used to be called Hemp Fest. It's now called the Boston Freedom Rally. And so this happens every summer at the end of the summer.
Boston! Sorry.
What?
Nothing. Good.
So I've been going to this thing since I was in high school. You know, it's just kind of everybody gets together in Boston Common and openly smokes pot. You know, and it's just a big freedom rally of everybody getting together and saying, yeah, we're smoking weed, and what are you going to do about it? So I had been going to those for a while. Like, when I was really into smoking pot, I wanted to contribute to the cause somehow. So I became a donor to a site called MPP.org. It's the Marijuana Policy Project, and they're some of the ones that are changing all these laws, and they would send out emails every month with statistical data on, you know, there's a lot of really heinous crimes that go on when pot's involved. I mean, some of these people are elderly, and they've had their homes broken into and their pets killed and all kinds of shit. Jesus. Just because they're trying to use a little bit of marijuana for their own personal use. It's terrible. And so I decided to start spreading the word about this. I would copy this information. I made flyers. I would hand them out. One year I made 600 flyers, and I handed them all out at the Freedom Rally to encourage people to vote for the decriminalization that was coming up. And then it just sort of happened that, you know, a couple years later, I found myself in the presence of people at MassCAN, which is Massachusetts branch of Normal. and I decided to start working with them directly. And now I'm a full member of NASCAN, and I'm going to be running for the NASCAN board next month to be, you know, a full board member. And it's such a wonderful feeling to know that I am actually making a difference in Massachusetts law.
Yeah,
you know,
amazing.
I don't even have to be partaking anymore to get that fulfillment out of it, because I know that it's the right thing to do. You know, this craziness should stop, and I'm doing everything in my power to you know, change things for the better. So, you know, it's something that's always going to be important for me, regardless of if I smoke weed or not, personally.
Yeah, living here is really bizarre. Like, first off, I'll say you should move your band here, because it's totally...
I have been to Boulder, Colorado before. It was pretty beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, this show is based in Glenwood Springs, which is about 40 miles northwest of Aspen. So It's a weird corridor of, like, you know, some really hardcore shit, but a lot of hippies. And then, like, it's a weird dichotomy. There's, like, some super conservatives and then some, like ultra liberals. And there's not really, like, a middle ground yet. They're trying to figure it out, you know. But, you know, I don't know. Like, I'm totally pro hemp. I don't know if I care about marijuana. Like, if it makes you feel better and you have some kind of illness, like, okay, go ahead, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think it's, like, a silly fight, you know. It does seem like a no-brainer. It could really fix a lot of stuff to just do it. Just try it. What's the harm, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
there are more serious things that are going on than people who want to smoke weed and get high.
Agreed. Yeah.
Or even if, you know, some people aren't doing it to get high, they're just doing it to feel better.
Yeah. I hope they figure this out, you know, soon enough. Like, we've lived with the whole, like, it's kind of legal here and now it's, like, you know, regulated, like, alcohol thing. Like, that whole thing hasn't happened yet. So I'm just interested to see how it plays out here. I don't, you know, I'm for it, but I'm not, like, active for it. You know what I mean? So I'm just curious to see how the whole thing plays out. But anyway, good for you. I mean, anybody that is actually taking steps to, like, better or, you know, change their surroundings, I'm totally for that. So good for you, you know, for your steps to do that.
I just want to reiterate that it's important to try to do these things, and I just want to say that it's really not that hard to get started in doing so. I mean, you take one step at a time, do baby steps, you know, you will find yourself with the right people, meeting the right people, if you just start taking action. You know, every state has a group of people that is working towards this, so, you know, just go online, look up normal.org or the MPP.org, and just start doing what you can, even if it's just posting a couple statuses on, like, you know, an article that you read that was, you know, one of like the disturbing sort of displays of violence by police and things like that over a little bit of pot, or, you know, just getting yourself educated on the benefits and changing, opening up people's minds about it, so that when the time comes to vote in your state, then more people will be likely to vote positively for it.
I didn't want to go into this, but I'm just going to ask quickly, and, like, if you can answer quickly, then do so. But if not, go ahead.
Okay.
Guns. Where are you at with that?
Guns? Yeah. I'm glad I don't own one.
Really?
Yeah,
You seem like somebody that would love a big assault rifle.
Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't love it. I'm just saying I'm not sure if I could handle the responsibility, let's say.
What are the laws crazy where you're at? Like, or is it pretty lenient,
I mean, there's gun stores, like, all over the place in Massachusetts. I'm not familiar with the laws.
Okay. Now we don't have to get into this. I was curious if you have, like, a hard line about the whole thing, but
no, I mean, I don't choose to get into, like, that whole debate. Like, I really don't have any big opinions on it. I'm just going to say again that I'm just you know, I don't think I should personally own a gun.
Fair enough. I got a couple more things here. Are you actually a hockey fan?
Fuck yeah. I used to play hockey in high school.
Really?
Right defense.
Awesome. Good for you.
Yeah, I loved it. I didn't love waking up at 5 a.m. for practice, but I really loved the game.
That's awesome. I played goalie in my Trailer Parks Street Hockey League.
Excellent. That's awesome. For
The reason I ask is obviously the legless. I can't say Lilith. I can't say legless. The legless video.
The video, yeah. Because we were talking about the Bruins and that, right?
Yeah, you start out, go, I love that. I love the intro to that whole thing. Like, what? Okay. You guys do serious metal. You know, like, you take yourself seriously as a band. Why that video?
Well, it's funny you bring that up, actually, because originally that was not really done under Sorrow Seed. A friend of mine approached me about doing a theme song for one of his independent films done by the Boston Film Family, and it was a really funny plot. Like, it's basically just a slapstick comedy, a drinking comedy, and it was just, he wanted a badass theme for it, a theme song, so...
Was it like a comedy take on Misery? Sorry.
Kind of, yeah. I mean,
don't say yeah, because that was a dumb joke. Don't be like, yeah, you know, you're totally right. No, don't do that.
I mean, the story begins with the main character going through a divorce and stuff, so he basically just, you know, he starts drinking again with his old college buddies and stuff, and, you know, just kind of follows their tails, and they think they accidentally kill someone, and they end up with burning their house up and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun. So myself and Morte McAdver, who is the primary writer for Sorrow Seed, we got together and we wrote this theme song, and we were like, you know, this really is not a Sorrow Seed thing, and, like, we shouldn't release this under Sorrow Seed because it's way too goofy, and it's really not what we're about at all. But we couldn't think of, like, a good name for an alternate side project. We were like, all right, we should just make a new side project and give it a really funny title and do, like, a bunch of, like, you know, goofy metal songs. Because basically all that song is just, like, a ripoff of Metalocalypse. Like, I did my best Nathan Explosion expression in it.
That's exactly what I thought, yeah.
Yeah, that was the total style, like, just really goofy and, like, over-the-top funny, which is not what Sorrow Seed is at all. But, the time came where the video was released, and we didn't have another guise to go under, so we were like, all right, just, like, put it under Sorrow Seed, I guess. And, like, you know, it'll just be, like, this random video.
But you're proud of it, though, right? I mean, like, it's not like you're like, oh, no, we didn't really do that, right?
Oh, no, I'm definitely proud of it. I helped direct it. A lot of the stuff was my idea, like the whole Absinthe Fairy scene was my doing. You know, I got a friend to...
Let me just say this. Let me say this.
Yeah, I was like, all right, there's Absinthe Fairies in this movie. We have to have this scene. Like, it's going down.
Slow clap for you, because that was a stroke of genius. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you. I was rather pleased with it myself.
How long did that take to film that thing?
We filmed it over a couple different days. We did the Absinthe Fairy scene one day. That took the entire day. We got together at like 10 a.m. We had to get body painted entirely green, which took several hours.
Wait.
And then
is one of them you?
What?
Is one of them you?
Yeah, dude. One of the fairies
shit.
Is me.
I'm going to have to go back and watch that again.
it's hard to tell at first because I had short pink hair at the time, which is not like a usual style of mine. But, yep, I'm one of the Absinthe Fairies. Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
So that took the entire day. Even though it was only a few minutes of footage, something like that, it takes a long time to set up and look right. And then we filmed the actual concert footage on a friggin' Saturday morning at like 9 o'clock in Boston. It was so early, and I'm like, really? We have to do this at 9 a.m., dude. And that was a long fucking day. We were there, I think, until about 8 o'clock at night. And it was fun, though. You know, I wanted to make sure that we had some people in face paint, like a real Sorrow Seed Joe, and I wanted to make sure we had a circle pit, like a real Sorrow Seed Joe, and at the end, I broke a fake bottle over one of my friend's heads. It was great.
Man, I could talk to you for like 3 hours, but I'm not going to do that. What's your favorite, like, what's your favorite, like, costume or outfit or whatever to come out and perform in? Let me ask you this. I don't know if this is true or not, like, because I was kind of drunk when I was looking at this a couple of days ago. Did you actually perform with, like, just, like a black or a red X, like, across your chest and, like, basically nipples? Is that?
Oh, that would be the liquid latex. Yeah, then I poured blood all over myself.
Oh, wait. No. Okay, maybe my question was stupid. Like, I swear I saw some pictures of you performing, but there was just, like, an X across you. Like, did you have, like, skin-colored latex on or what?
No, I had some black liquid latex. I just painted across my chest and an X, and then I poured some fake blood over it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Like, are you cool with that? Like, I'm not upset about it at all. Like, it's you're the shit, clearly.
I'm totally comfortable. I mean, I'm a professional model, so I'm used to wearing revealing things, and I've always been
revealing
comfortable with my self image and stuff. You know, it's just confidence. You know, I'm not doing it to kind of. I'm just more outfits like that are more for like shock value. You know, because it makes a really interesting photo, and people are like, holy shit, this is what happens at shows. Like, I want to be there to see this.
Oh, okay. So that's like your Howard Stern side coming out a little bit. Like, oh,
yeah,
she paints her nipples
sort of
and
like,
doesn't wear a shirt. Let's go to her show. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and some of the shows are kind of BDSM themed, and we'll have a bondage cross and one of my female slaves tied up, and, you know, I'll be whipping her and stuff, and people always react positively to that.
Wait. One of my female slaves. You're gonna just gloss over that? Like,
I thought you did your research, man.
I'm not saying I didn't, but you brought it up. So, what do you mean? Hang on. Lilith Astaroth.
Sorry, collect your thoughts.
What do you mean by one of my female slaves?
Well, I'm actually very involved in the BDSM scene as a dom.
Jesus!
So, sorry. You do not know this? I thought you did your research.
Look,
it's not hard to find.
Now, look.
For a fantasy
video show. Wait. You
don't need to
have to find Goddess Lilith. Hey, what's going on? Hey, hello? Hello?
Yeah.
What happened?
Hello?
Oh, there you go. Okay. I lost you for a second. No, I did my research, but there's like 50 things to touch on, and that wasn't one of them that I decided to go for, so...
Yes, that's another one of the aspects of my life. I, you know, if you look for Goddess Lilith, you can find all of that dark and debaucherous stuff. Or, I mean, you can just go to the Sorrow Seed Facebook page and look through the photo albums, and you'll see examples.
I did. I had to stop. I was at work. They're like, what are you doing?
Not safe for work.
Oh, my God. You're awesome. You're fun, man. I like you.
Oh, thank you.
Am I fun? I need a little boost right now. Come on. Hello.
You need what?
Am I fun?
Hello. Yeah, you're fun.
Okay, good.
I like talking to you too.
That was perfect. You're like, I'm like, am I fun? You're like, huh? Hello. All right. One last bit. Talk about the new album and whatever else you got going on. I know that I said off mic, I don't think I said this on the show, I think I said it off mic, but the first time I saw you, I was like, oh, hot metal band, like, right? But then, you know, when I started, like, trying to get you to do my show, I started checking out your music, and the new I think the newest song is the Black Feathered Vixen. Is that true?
Yes, actually, that song is not a Sorrowseed song. That is a collaboration with our new live guitarist, Eric Pellegrini.
Oh, okay.
Who is an awesome shredder from New Hampshire. He contacted me a little while ago, and we've been collaborating a little bit ever since. And he's really fun to work with. He's very talented, and he writes some pretty brutal songs. We're going to be doing a three-part series of that song, actually. There's going to be, you know, Black.
Jesus, I'm losing you again. Where'd you go? There you are. Okay.
That's so fucking annoying.
I'm telling you, it's on you. Like, I can hear me, and I can hear you going, hello, hello. It's you. Stop walking around. Just sit down.
I'm sitting down.
Okay.
What was the last thing you heard?
Goddess Lilith. No, I'm kidding. hang on. Let me see if this thing works. Hang on. That kind of works, but not really.
It sounds like you're playing it.
I wish. I have a drum cool. set. I wouldn't say I'm a drummer because I stink, but I heard this and I'm like, oh my god, this is pretty sweet. So I may ask you to help let me pop this on the end of the podcast. But like, what's your favorite Sorrowseed song to perform? I know that's hack. I get it, but
right now our favorite song to perform is a new one off the upcoming album called Arcana of the Lich Queen, and it's a really fucking badass song. It's one of our thrashiest songs, and it has a really powerful ending, so we've been closing out the set on our tour with that, and the crowd fucking loves it. We're really excited about the new material.
Is that anywhere to check out?
Not yet. We're still finishing it. It should drop by hopefully in the summer, you know, in the fall at the latest, but we're pushing for the summer. And it's going to be a lot heavier than the first album. So we've put a lot of work into the new songs, and we're going to be doing a lot more of the new stuff in our sets pretty soon. So that's my favorite new song. I think my favorite song off the first album would be Demeter's Reckoning, because it's kind of an epic tale if you look at the lyrics, and it's really fun to perform because I can switch up the clean vocals and the screams, and it gets people moving.
Yeah. Oh man.
So
that's awesome. Wait.
You know, you can preview a bunch of these songs for free on the internet. You know, on LastFM.
I'm looking at your Reverb Nation right now.
Did
you really cover Typo Negative?
Yeah, man. Oh, that was a couple years ago now.
Hang on.
You didn't hear this yet?
No.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, I'm panicking.
This was my first clean singing song.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I don't care if anybody can hear this. Can you hear it or no?
Yeah, it's cool.
Oh my god. Yes! Oh shit. Okay, I'm gonna go back to that another time. Oh my god. I fucking love that song.
Yeah, check that out, man.
Yeah.
That was a tribute to Peter Steele, because I was really upset when he passed away, and he was, you know, Typo was an important band for me when I was growing up.
Yeah.
So that was a tribute to him.
No, I hear you. I wouldn't say he was an important band, but that song was definitely really up there on the whole list of songs that like I really like the slow driving metal, like that type of song, you know, and like honestly that's probably one of the perfect songs. So yeah, I'm gonna go back and listen to that. But anyway, you're great. We've already gone 50 minutes. I think it's probably
time flies, huh?
Well, good. I like to hear that. I don't like when it's like, ugh, are we done yet? Like,
oh, what do I say now?
It's 12 minutes and 20 seconds. Give me a second. I'll get there. What?
No, I had fun.
Oh, I'm glad. You were amazing. You were.
Thank you. Yeah. You're fun to talk to also.
Thank you.
If you ever want to do it again in the future, a couple months down the line or something, let me know.
All right. I'll take you up on it.
Cool.
I think I thought about having Roberto come in tonight, but he's very he's a lot better at interviewing than I am. Like, mm-hmm. I just hear a word and I'm like, oh, shiny, and I look.
Yeah, I know this.
But he's a lot more streamlined, structured. Yeah, that's good.
It's okay though. Sometimes like, the chaos interviews are good.
Yeah, nah, it was fun.
It keeps it interesting, you know.
Fuck him. He's been on the show 20 times. So.
Is this your 100th episode?
Do you want it to be? Because I'll make it the 100th episode.
Yeah, I thought that was what we were doing for your 100th episode.
Well, okay, explain to everybody. Like, I was teasing you a month ago. What the fuck happened? I was on 99. I'm waiting for Lilith Astaroth to hit me back. What happened?
I got sick for a little while. I got kind of run down doing all the stuff I've been doing.
Dude,
so
if it's not,
dropped off the internet
AIDS,
for a good week or so.
If it's not AIDS, I don't care. Sick? I'm just kidding.
Well, you know, we also started our tour, so I was a little busy with that.
Right. No, I will gladly bump 100 for you if that means
Woo-hoo!
Anything. But it's already like, wait, hang on. I think we're on like 106 already, so it might not really have the impact. You know, I'd rather just put you on a standalone thing. You're better than that. You know.
All right. Well, when you hit episode 200, then I'll be on. Okay.
200. All right. How about 120? Because that's probably as far as this thing's gonna go. So.
Yeah, have faith in yourself, man. It looks like you've got a big following. I think you're doing pretty well.
Well, I'm. You too. I mean, like. Are you?
I was impressed to see your numbers. Actually, like sometimes when I get contacted to do an interview or a feature or something, I'll go to their pages and they've only got like 400 likes or 100 followers on Twitter or something. But you actually have quite a few followers.
I'm
like,
trying.
You
man.
Have over 4,000, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we're approaching 4,000 on the Facebook. We're almost at 250 on Twitter, people. I don't care about my numbers on the social media stuff as long as my actual listens are up there. And as long as I get people like you to do the show, then it'll continue to clock up. But like, okay, I don't want to say one last because I said it three times already, but are you surprised at your success? Because you have a pretty solid following yourself.
Surprise at my business? Hell fucking no. I've been working for this since I was like 15. It's been over a decade and I work really fucking hard every day on the things that I do, and frankly I'm a little frustrated because I haven't achieved the amount of success that I'm aiming for yet. I'm getting but surely.
Let's talk about that, because like, okay, I'm a big podcast fan. That's why I started doing this. Me and Rob, like, Rob had a metal radio show about 4 years ago on an actual station out here, and we kind of just like fucked it up. That's the only reason we're not still doing it. Like, we kind of blew it. It's not like the door is not possibly still open, especially with this thing. But I don't know. But I've only been at this podcast since July, and there are times that I go through like, why isn't it doing better? Like, I have these numbers on this thing. I have numbers on this thing. Like, why isn't it clocking up a little bit bigger? But I have to like, slap myself and be like, you're lucky anybody listens to it. You know, I remember back when it was like maybe a month in and there was like 600 hits total on like maybe 10 or 12 episodes, And this was before
That's not too bad, man.
Well, before the Facebook and before all that, other stuff, you know. And I was like, you know what? I don't think my parents have physically seen me more than 600 times ever. So I'm pretty happy with this. But now I'm like, why am I not over 100,000? Like, what, you know, I do get upset about it. So, like, how do you, like, okay, this is a tough question. But, you know, if you have a problem with this, then just shut it off now. What do you want? Like, what makes you frustrated? Like, where do you think you should be that you're not?
I would like to be not losing money on performing and doing things that I love. Being in a band is a huge money sink. We're going broke right now. We're all very talented people. I think we should be getting more recognition and more opportunities, but it's extremely difficult to compete with everything that's out there, so you really just have to keep plugging away at it. I just want to get to the point where I can travel and see the world and do that, you know, without going broke. I mean, it's just, I don't really care about, I mean, you know, delusions of fame and fortune and stuff. Like, I mean, everyone knows you can't make fucking money in a metal band unless you're like, you know, there are some exceptions. I mean, you know, Metallica is not really what I would call a metal band anymore, but
no,
I mean,
it's over.
It's like,
it's over. Like, yeah, you got Metallica, you got
but
Slayer,
you know what I mean.
You got Megadeth. Like, they're the only ones that they're established,
right,
and they're going to make money.
Unless you're one of them, or, like, you know, there's a few others that, but if you're not, I mean, for the rest of us, all you're going to do is just pour money into it, and you're lucky to just get paid properly for your expenses. So, but, I mean, it is possible, and I would like to just be able to continue to see the world and have my art and music heard by people, and just, you know, I just want to be able to share that with more people. I feel like, you know, when you work so hard as an artist, like, you want people to see your stuff, or you want people to hear your stuff. If no one's paying attention, I mean, there's only so much self-fulfillment that you're going to get out of it, right?
Yeah. What are you going
to
do?
You know, like, you do things because you enjoy them, but you want other people to enjoy them too.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, the reason that I stalked you, and that's a pretty proper word.
Sorry, you're not a creepy stalker, so it's okay.
Well, no, I wasn't like, here's my dick picture and be on my show. Like,
exactly. You want to go out on a date sometime?
Yeah, I didn't email you at goddesslilith.aol or whatever the fuck you got. No, but, like, if I, like, I'm at a point where I've had some really cool, like at first it was just like me and the homies, you know, talking about some, you know, kind of personal stuff. You know, there's been some, like, addiction stories, some, you know, pregnancy scare type of shit, you know, like that's what we had to offer. So that's what we put up. And then mm-hmm. it kind of moved into, like, some, like, more human interest piece of, like, more people that were actually, like, kind of important in the community type of thing. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, It doesn't matter. Like, if there's a story to be told, like, who cares if it's positive? Who cares if it's, you know what I mean? Like, and that's why I reach out to somebody like you, or somebody like, you know, the Dahlia, who was on the show about 2 weeks ago. She's a pinup model in DC, and she's got a big following too. It's like, I appreciate you doing it because I know that you have a following, and you and I can help each other, like, do that, you know, spread that whole thing.
Totally.
As much as we can, you know, and, like,
yeah, I made sure to pimp out your link all over the place.
I appreciate it. And, like, no, I've been nuts. I mean, like, how come you didn't do a show all week? And I'm like, no, I got this. I got, she's major. Don't worry about it. She'll be.
Well, I mean, when you get the archive up too, like, you know, I'm sure it'll get a bunch of downloads when I share them with my network, because I know late night on Sunday some people have to work and stuff, so,
well, no, this
maybe not as many people are listening, but
it doesn't go out live at all, so this has just been you and me. Like, the only live interaction is if, like, you know, I post and somebody asks a question, which nobody did, because I hope everybody's dead. Just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was telling people it was a live thing, man. I'm sure some people are like, where the fuck is this interview happening?
Be like, dude, you guys totally missed it. You, like, there was a promo code. You didn't put it in. So.
Oh well. So, but I'll spread the link around. I mean,
like seriously,
can you tell how many people download them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, if it's just like a regular, like, you know, friend of mine, it's not really like a big deal to get like, I don't know, 200 or 300 is pretty normal. But like some of the other people that have like, you know, actual things going on, pages, bands, all that kind of stuff, you know, somewhere between 500 and 1,000 is pretty normal. So that's what I'm hoping for with you, for sure. I don't think it'll be a problem at all, especially like you're way more informative than I thought. I was like, I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't know if we're on the same page. I don't know, you know, should I talk about Super Mario or, you know, I don't really know. So no, but you were great. So I really appreciate it. You have any last plugs to throw out there for our folks?
Sure. Just check out LilithAstaroth.com and Starroseed.com, and you can look for both of those on Facebook, YouTube, Reverb Nation, Last.fm, Twitter, all that good stuff. And let me know that you've heard this, and let me know what you think of the music.
Right on. I will, I'm going to cut this thing up, and I'll probably post it, maybe not first thing, but early morning tomorrow. And as soon as I post it, I'll let you know so you can let your minions know.
Awesome.
GoFromThere.podbean.com. Search Go From There on iTunes, one word. StitcherRadio.com. What was that other thing? Oh, Twitter, @GFTPod. Twitter, @LilithAstaroth. Shit. I messed it up again.
You said it right.
@LilithAstaroth.
No, you said it right.
No, I said Astaroth with a D. I'm an ass.
Oh, it sounded like you said it right.
I'm fucking awful at this.
Say it again. Say it again. You can do it.
Hang on. Lilith Astaroth. @LilithAstaroth on Twitter.
Don't forget to check us out on iTunes. Sorrow Seed on iTunes.
Are you really on there?
Yeah.
Oh, right on. I'll go download your shit so it was worth your time.
Yay! Thank you.
Awesome. Hang on the...
Rate that shit, too. Give it, like, a nice 5-star rating and a comment.
There you go, yeah. Go rate... You know what? Go subscribe and rate to my show. Wait, subscribe
to... I will.
To, not you. Them. Subscribe to and rate my show. I don't... You did it. I don't care if you... As long as you promote it to two people, it'll get out there. But, yeah, all the rest of you do that. Hang on the phone for me, okay? I'm going to kill this. And you were amazing. You were... This went way better than I thought. I say that on every show because I'm terrible, and I automatically think that nobody likes me. So,
don't worry. I think you have low self esteem, man.
I really do, and it's well deserved and rightfully so. So,
you're
great.
It.
Thank you, Lilith. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. LifeLock, everybody. Have you ever looked at your bank statement and realized that somebody was trying to buy a bunch of Pakistani clothing at a store in London? No? Well, I have. It's kind of scary having your identity stolen or anything taken from you. LifeLock works hard to keep, degenerates from trying to get cell phones in your name, credit cards, mortgage loans, anything. And right now, LifeLock is happy to announce a tax time consumer offer. Get 15% off your final purchase and a free 30-day trial of LifeLock Ultimate. Because you know what? These criminals don't care what tax bracket you're in. They'll still take your name. So go to gofromthere.podbean.com, click on the LifeLock banner. Get protected, people. Don't have some loser take your name unless you really your credit stinks and maybe that's the best thing for you. But yeah, click on the banner, get your free 30-day trial and 15% off your final purchase. LifeLock, doing more to help keep your identity safe.